So, we welcome you today in the name of Jesus. Those on podcast, we celebrate you. We've been celebrating, and we celebrate the Lord today. We're continuing this series on the power of praise and thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, this is Psalm 147. This wasn't originally in the series that I worked on months and months ago, but I'll tell you, it has so captured my heart this past week. It is in there. And so, I'm going to work through this pretty quick, so have your eyes on and your heart on and help me capture this. Boy, please catch this today because it has, I'm telling you, the Lord, this is not out of the massage Bible. This one's not, but I want to tell you, it's massaged my heart really and truly. Psalm 147, 1, praise the Lord. And all the people said. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, after 9 sermons in this series, you ought to know it is good. It is so good. It's good for you. It's good for the Lord. I'm telling you, you minister to the Lord. This is so great. God, the creator of everything, all that he is. We get to minister to him when we give thanks and we pray. He loves praise and thanksgiving. It's good for you. Only person, only being it's bad for is the devil. Because he's allergic to it. And he runs. It's a weapon of our warfare. For it is good to sing and pray and to sing praises to our God. I hope you do that and practice that. For he is gracious and lovely. Hey. Lovely is the Lord. You know what happens when you practice praise and thanksgiving? Your eyes get off of you. Your eyes get off the stuff. Okay? And your eyes focus on him. And powerful things happen when you focus on the Lord. Because you get to see him. I want to tell you, lovely is the Lord. Isn't he lovely? I'm telling you, he's lovely. Lovely is the Lord. Have you seen him in his loveliness lately? Well, I want to tell you, hey, bride of Christ, you need to. You need to adore him. You need to be still and recognize him. Let him be God. Let him be the lover of your soul. How long has it been since you've heard the Lord whisper to your heart with your name, I love you? Because I want to tell you, that needs to be current and continual because he's lovely. And I want to tell you, look at this. Praise is becoming. Man, I could have based the whole praise series on this. But praise is becoming. Now I want to tell you, when something is becoming, it means it's good on you. Looks good on you. Making you look better. Okay? And also there's a kind of an exchange word in it where you are being changed. So it goes something like this. Beautiful blonde, first lady. That Indian wardrobe you got on is becoming. You know I like that. It is becoming on you. And I want to tell you, when you praise and give thanks, it's becoming. I'm telling you, hey, the Lord looks good on you. He inhabits the praises of his people. And I want to tell you, praise, he's inhabiting, he's manifesting in your praise, and God looks good on you. And it's appropriate. Always appropriate. You need to repeat after me. Praise is always proper protocol. It is. Okay? The Lord is building up the church. We're using some New Testament language here. He's gathering the body of Christ from all over. And I think there's going to be a mighty harvest in the last days. I really believe generations going all the way back have looked to our day. And I want to tell you, we get to live it. I'm telling you, I believe there's a harvest coming, a manifestation of God coming, a revival coming, and he's getting us ready. I believe these guys on the front row are a part of God's preparation of this happening, and I believe you are, okay? So, he heals the brokenhearted. I love that about him. That's something no one else can do. I want to tell you, all over, all around you, there are people that are brokenhearted. This generation, more this decade, more than any decade I've been ministering. I've been ministering for about a little over four of them. And I want to tell you, I'm seeing more broken, wounded people than ever before. They're all over the place. And Jesus loves to heal the brokenhearted. And really and truly, He's the only one that can. We use medicine. We go to people. But I want to tell you something. Really and truly, Jesus is the one that heals the broken heart. There's a lot of different fruit that comes out of a heart that's had sorrow or brokenness. Brokenheartedness, wounded hearts. A lot of different fruit. And sometimes as people trying to help people, we pick the fruit off. But I want to tell you, Jesus is the one that digs the root out. Okay? And He does that and He can do it. He can touch and reach where no man can. I'm going to show you something about that. He binds up their wounds. That's a medical term, binding up the wounds. And look how the Amplified, I love the Amplified, how it brings this out. It says, curing their pains. This is out of the original language. Cures their pains. Now I want to tell you, when you make an announcement, when an announcement is professed that my pains have been cured, it means they're not there anymore. Okay? Now, sometimes a doctor will tell you, well, you'll have this the rest of your life. Well, I don't have any symptoms of it. If I don't have any symptoms, what's the big deal? Okay? Jesus has cured my pains. And look at this, our sorrows. I want to tell you, as the Bible says, and we've mentioned in this series, that a merry heart doth good to the whole inside of you, like medicine on the inside and outside. A merry heart, a praising and thankful heart, ministers deep down inside you, inside and out. Well, I want to tell you, sorrow does too. It's a parallel truth. Okay? Sorrow, bitterness, hurt, anger will minister to you. And it does not minister death. It does not minister life. It ministers death. Are you with me? Now look at the next verse. Now our Western mindset says, because we have a Western mindset, our education and the way we are taught to think growing up in our education system, we look at verse 4 and say, this is not connected. I want to tell you, with Eastern mindset, where this Bible was written and written to the Eastern mindsets, they say, yes, it is. They view it a little differently. Okay? Look at this verse 4. He determines and counts the numbers of stars. He calls them all by their name. And so I want to tell you, now let me make this connection. It goes like this. This is the bridge. It goes like this. The very God that created the stars, the very God that numbers the stars, the very God that calls them, He's named each one of them, is the same one that can reach down in your heart and heal your heart. You say, nobody knows. The very God, the power and the greatness of our God that can name stars, number them and name them and create them. That very God is the one that can look inside of you and see what the root is. And He is the same God that delivers us from wrong roots, and He's the same God that heals us. Is that good news? Yes. Hey, great is our Lord and of great power. He has power to do that. Man does not have power to do that. His understanding is inexhaustible and boundless. There's no limit to it. God's not limited. Okay? The Lord lifts up the humble and the downtrodden. Here's a way to receive. Humble yourself. I want to tell you, you've been kicked on, you've been walked on, you've been stepped on. You qualify. You qualify. Jesus did not come for those who say, hey, I got this. I can handle this. I'm not bothered. No, I tell you who Jesus came from. Came for those who said, hey, I need help. Okay? He cast the wicked down to the ground. Okay? Those people that are prideful, they're walking around with all that stuff, you see it out there, I want to tell you they're temporary. Hey, in a season of time, you won't even know their name, according to the Bible. And so here's what verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And are you ready to do that? Okay. Praise the Lord with the stringed instruments. Give her a go ahead. Y'all clap for her. Okay. You can stand right there. Wherever you want to be. Amen. All right. So, you know, we're to sing praises to the Lord with the stringed instruments. Okay. Hey, I want to tell you something. You say, Marissa is going to do that near future. She's going to be playing up there too, I think. Okay. She plays the viola, right? Yeah. Hey. And I like peanut butter cups, but I'm trying not to eat them, okay? I don't get the words right. You know I invent words every week, so thank you for forgiving me. But it goes something like this. You say, well, I can't do that. Now, let me tell you what you can do. You can sing praises to the Lord. Okay? I want to tell you something. God's given you an instrument. It's right here. God's given you an instrument with ease. Okay? Hey, man. Clap before the Lord. Sing before the Lord. You say, well, it's not impressive. Heaven's impressed. Okay? Bible says make a joyful noise. Man, we can do that. I had someone tell me one time I couldn't. Okay, and I'm not, you know, but I said, oh, well, I make a happy racket. That's pretty close. And so, but it's important to the Father. It's important to Jesus. Okay? He loves you. And he loves love life. See, he loves to interact with you. So don't think, well, just because I don't have the voice or I don't have the gifting of this. No, no, no. You have an opportunity to love on the Lord Jesus himself. And he loves praise and thanksgiving. The very one, verse 8, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain on the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast his food. He gives to the young ravens that for which they cry. Do you see that? I try on Saturday mornings, I go ahead and get up early like I normally do and have time with the Lord, study. But I try to let the beautiful blonde sleep in some. It's the only chance that she's got, only time during the week. But I want to tell you, yesterday morning she called for me. She said, you got to come see this. I walked in there and the backyard was full of wildlife. I mean, the birds and the squirrels. And you know what? They weren't in competition. They were feeding right beside each other because it was buffet out there. And they were having a blast. But I want to look at this. He hears the cry of the ravens. He feeds the wild beasts. You say, no one cares for them. He does. Amen. You may be in here thinking, no one cares for me. He does. Amen. I want to tell you, you've been crying out to the Lord. He hears it. Amen. He hears the ravens cry. Jesus talked about the sparrows. How Father loves the sparrows. He feeds them, takes care of them, cares for them. I want to make an announcement to you. Listen, according to what Jesus said, you're worth more than a whole flock of sparrows. Amen. And he cares for you. Okay, that's what he loves to do. Okay, show me a little more. He delights not in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of man. And I want to tell you, ever since man made friends with the horse, okay, men have said wow over horsepower. We still say wow over horsepower. Yeah. Brum, 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 brum. Ooh, wow. I want to tell you what else man says wow over. He says wow over athleticism. Yeah. Athletic victory. Have ever since there's been a couple of them to race. Okay? And so man says wow over horsepower and says wow over athleticism. But I want to tell you what God, he doesn't say wow about that. He delights not. That doesn't make God say wow. Let me tell you what makes God say wow. It's the next verse. The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. Amen. This is something you can do. You can love the Lord. And that word fear, Old Testament word, which in New Testament means to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means to wholeheartedly, all in, love the Lord. That makes God say wow. Now, you say, well, I can't do that, right? Yeah, yes, you can. But look at this. He also says, wow, for those who hope in his mercy. Now, I want to tell you, when you need his mercy, it's when you're in a mess. Am I right? And I want to tell you, we get there. Okay? But I want to tell you, he can make a message out of the mess. And I want to tell you, when you're in a mess and you put your hope in him, he says, wow. He likes it. Okay, he's looking. His eyes are roaming to and fro across this world, and he's looking for those hearts that will turn toward him. You say, well, they made a mess, they deserve... No, I'm telling you, Jesus paid for that. Okay, your sin is not greater than the price He paid. And heaven delights over one that repents more than one who brags on how good he is. And I want to tell you something, when you're in a mess and you turn and cry out to the Lord for mercy, God says, wow, that gets His... He loves that. And you know what else He loves? He says, wow, over those who want to be loved on by Him. Amen. Loving kindness. We put our hope in His loving kindness. Lord, I'm lonely, hurting, feel like I've missed. Lord, I just need You to love on me. God says, wow. He says, I'm on that. Okay? He loves that. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, body of Christ. Verse 13. I lost my person. There he is. For He has strengthened and made hard the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. I'm going to say this real quick. But I want to tell you. God says, hey, look, hey, it's this. I have made strong protection over you. I've hardened the bars of your gates. I'm your defender. Okay? You say, well, I've been done wrong, song. God's your defender. Amen. Let Him be your defender. Amen. You say, well, stuff happens. God's your defender. Stuff happened at the Gloria household this week. House caught on fire. That's not fun. That's not good. This is what I told them. You can ask them. This is what I told them. Thank God. Because I want to tell you, He defended you. He took care of you. Amen. He protected you. Amen. Okay? Dogs out one end of the house. Humans out the other end of the house. Okay? Hey, God protected them. Amen. And I want to tell you, because of the blessing of insurance, they're going to get a refurbished house in the process. Woo! That's what we're believing for. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Looks like that's going to happen. I know about that. You know I do. But He has blessed your children within you. You say, ooh, I don't want to go there. No. I'm here to tell you something. If it's human children, you say, well, I don't have any. No, He's blessed your children within you. Old Testament terminology, real quick, it goes like this. Old Testament terminology refers to your future children in your loins. They're already in you. They're in your loins. So He has blessed your children. You know what? Hey, He has stepped into your future. And He's prospered you in your future. Amen. Now, sometimes our children can be the dreams that God's planted in our heart. Come on, yes. You know, this is my baby. This is my dream. Other people may not even know it. But I want to tell you, He puts the dream seed in you. Amen. You didn't come up with it on your own. He puts a dream seed in you, and He's the one that causes the dream seed to grow, to be fulfilled, and to come to pass. He finishes what He starts. That's our God. Is that a good word for your future? Hey, verse 14, He makes peace in your borders. Now, I want to tell you, some of you may have homes that is war going on. I lived in one of those at one time. That's hard. That's tough. But I want to tell you, if you will allow the Lord to show Himself mighty in your life, God will make peace in your borders. This is His will. This is His heart. This is what He's going to do. All He needs is our cooperation. Amen. He will do it. No, He didn't. You don't make it happen. This is something He makes happen. Okay? He will make peace in your borders. Now, your border may not be anything more than where you're standing right now, but that's a good thing. Because wherever you go, I'm telling you, the portrayer of peace Himself goes with you. He can make peace in your border. At work, hey, it may be soap operaville. Okay? It may be drama club at work. He makes peace in your borders. Okay? In your home, He makes peace in your borders. In your life, He makes peace. Wherever you are, He makes peace. You said there's a storm. He makes peace in your borders. And He fills you with the finest of wheat. Now, look. That's Father's heart for you. You see, Father's heart for you is for you to be a blessed person. He says that He would want you to be blessed inside and out. Blessed on the outside, even as your soul prospers. to be in health and prosper. That's His heartbeat for you. He's a fabulous Father. Jesus said He was a good Father. And a good father knows and wants to give good gifts to his children. You say, well, I don't deserve the finest of wheat. I'll just do just fine with some crumbs. Well, I want to tell you, hey, don't settle for less than God's best. Amen. If Father wants to touch you with the finest of wheat, and He says here that He does, that's His heart for you, let's receive what God wants. Hey, let's receive what Jesus paid for. Because according to the Bible, He became poor on the cross that we might be rich in Him. Wow. Well, I nearly got knocked down on that one. That's true. That's God. Any father will tell you about his children. He wants them to be blessed. That's God's heart for you. He sends forth His commandment to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. Now, I'm going to say it to you like this. Because Jesus on the cross finished works. Finished works for us. And He's put His word there for us. We already saw that earlier today. But I'm here to tell you, our part, our response to the word of God, our response to the promises of God, is to say yes. You know what yes is? Yes is our faith response. Our faith response to His grace, His blessing, is to say yes. It means you agree. That's what amen means. It means I agree. It means so be it. Amen. And the Bible says in the New Testament that He has said amen to our amen. He has said yes to our yes. And so the answer from heaven is yes. What's your answer?
Yes.
Okay. Now I want to tell you, when we, by simple childlike faith, not by works, we say yes to the grace of God. That's our faith response, is to say yes, agree with God. Then I want to tell you, His word runs very swiftly. You say, well, it's been a while. I want to tell you what the answer from God is when we say yes to His yes. It goes like this. The answer is on the way. It's soon and very soon. Your rescue is on the way. It's soon and very soon. The manifestation of the victory of Jesus in your life is on the way. It's soon and very soon. So in the process of simple childlike faith saying yes to God, don't turn around a few hours or a few days or a few months later and say no because it hadn't got here yet. God says it's coming swiftly. Let's believe what God says. You say, well, that's not my experience. Well, your experience is wrong and God's word is right. Okay, boy, that makes me real popular to say stuff like that. Okay, here it is. Praise is powerful. You ought to know that by now after 9 sermons. Praise is powerful. Don't let the negative, bad report, critical-minded world we live in infect you because it's infectious, it's catching, and it's normal out there. Okay? They're critical-minded. The Bible says be transformed. Don't be conformed, poured into the mold of the world. Don't be like them. Okay? You're not like them. Okay? You look human, but you're more than human. You're not just human. Don't tell me, oh, I'm just human. No, you're not if you know Christ. Because if you know Christ, the Spirit of the living God dwells within you. Okay? You're saved. You're changed. You're part of a different kingdom now. And so don't be conformed, poured into the mold of the world, but be transformed. Be changed, like the butterfly, be changed by renewing your mind with the Word of God. Now, the renewing of your mind takes time. It's a process. I've been doing it for 40-something years. He's still working on me, but I want to tell you, it's so beneficial. Okay, that's what you're going to find out. You go ahead and get started. Because you're going to see the grace awakening of God in your life. And you're going to say, wow, the Word of God works. Because He watches over His Word to make it so, to perform it in your life. That's God's part, and He does good. Our part's to renew our mind. And so we're to renew our mind. And it takes time. I've absolutely had people tell me, look me straight in the eye and say, I don't have time for that. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I have to say, what you know, you don't have time for God in your life. You see, what a lot of people want. Just pray over Him. I need a miracle, pray over me, fix me, and let me go on and do what I want to do. No, God wants you. Even more than what he's going to do for you, he wants your heart. He wants you. Be thankful. Be consumed with the goodness of God. Be personally convinced of his goodness and love. And that's part of what praise and thanksgiving does. It gets you your heart in the position to respond to this. Okay, that's why I encourage people, I've encouraged you to have a blessings journal. Hey, are you under some kind of oppressive attack, depression, oppressive attack, trouble with the mind, disturbance, traffic? You know what I'm saying? Blessings journal. In that blessings journal, you begin to write down the little things, the big things, all things that God does for you. And you know what you do? You go back and meditate over them. And you practice giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for the parking place. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for the favor. Thank you, Lord, that someone was nice to me. Okay, but you begin to give thanks to the Lord. And the more you do that, the more you see. Wow. Become convinced and consumed with the goodness and the love of God. It's hard for the enemy to find a crack in your armor. Even though none of us are perfect, it's hard for him to have a crack in your armor if you're consumed with the goodness of God. Because his lies don't work when you're consumed with the goodness of God. Okay? Him being a bully don't work when you're consumed with the goodness and love of God. Okay? You can be positive. You can be positive. Okay, it's just a fruit of being thankful to the Lord. If you find yourself ungrateful, let it be like an alarm going off. This past week, the motion sensor went off at the house. Was it 2 weeks ago? Motion sensor went off at the house. I was up here at the church working. She was at, the beautiful blonde was at her place of business in Capel, just across the line of Capel there. Motion sensor went off at our house. We got alerts on our phone. She had to call me because I was in here. I was away from the phone. And by the time I get on the phone with her to see what's going on, she's on the way to the house. I left here immediately and went to the house. You understand? I told her park in the neighbor's driveway, and I was going to park down the street, and I was going to go clear the house. And I did clear the house. I don't mind clearing the house, but I told her next time anything happens, just go ahead and call the boys in blue. They're professional at clearing the house. I know how to, but you know what? Thank God for police. But I want to tell you, when the alarm goes off at your house, there needs to be a response. We have a response ability. And I'm telling you, when you find yourself, the Holy Spirit whispers and shows you you're ungrateful, you have an attitude that's not gratitude, you have a case of the mulligrubs or whatever it is, then I want to tell you, as soon as you can, put on the garment of praise. You have a response ability to put on the garment of praise. I talked to Pastor James last week or the week before about putting on the garment of praise. Leave the shirt on. If you recognize that the shirt's off, put the shirt back on. We can put on the garment of praise because he's exchanged us. He's gifted us with the garment of praise. He took away the heaviness. He took away the sorrow. And so the sorrow and the heaviness is illegal. According to him, we can put on the garment of praise. You can think life and you can speak life. And you can enjoy his life on your journey through the junk, through the storms, through the testing times, and all the saints said. So praise is not a feeling. We've covered this a bunch. I'm trying to settle this back up before we get on the last sermon next week. But praise is not a feeling. You don't wait until it's time to celebrate to praise. We're to praise God in the midst of a bad situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. We're to praise Him not because the bad situation's fun, but because we have faith. Faith says God's good. In spite of this mess, God's good, and this is temporary. And he's come to bring life and life more abundantly to me, so this is not abundant life, so this is temporary, because abundant life is on the way because he's my Father. He's not limited by bad situations. I don't care how bad it is. Hey, if your house catches on fire, which happened to the Glorias this week. God's goodness is not limited by fire and smoke. God's limited by me. Not by situations. Okay? Because in Tim Hall, he's got the ability to say yay or nay. Yes to the promises of God or no to the promises of God. So put your heart and mind on the Lord. Praise and thanksgiving needs to be dominant. It needs to be determined. It needs to be diligent. So keep knocking, keep asking until you receive. Keep seeking. He's a rewarder of those that seek. And we're not begging God or trying to talk God into something. He's already said yes. Praise and thanksgiving is a spiritual exercise that puts our heart in position to receive rest, the belief in God. In the place of rest, where our hearts in a place of responding to Him, we receive peace, joy, and love. Do you see that? I hope you do, because you don't want me to start this series all over again. Most Christians, honestly, if you were to interview them, would consider praise an optional thing maybe on Sunday. No, no, it's not optional. It's foundational, and it's for all the time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light, now I covered last week all that Paul went through with the stoning and with the beating of the rods and with the shipwrecks and being misused and abused in prison. And he said that they were light and temporary afflictions. Now, if he called his stuff light and temporary, he had more going on than you do. And so if it was light and temporary for him, it's light and temporary for us. I know that the slight distress of the passing hour can be very, very severe. I'm not taking that lightly in your life. But this is what the Bible says, and we need to agree with the Bible. Okay? This affliction, this temporary and light affliction, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory. Now listen, even the Bible experts have a hard time explaining what this really means, the weight of glory, because it's so much bigger than words. Okay? Even the Greek is so much bigger. But let me share with you out of the original language what this says. Beyond all measure, this is what our light momentary afflictions are working for us. Hey, God doesn't send the junk. But when your heart surrendered to Him, He will work through the junk for your good and for His glory. Okay? You see that? All right. Well, it goes like this. Look at the expression here. Beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. What is he talking about? This is so great and so good, it can't be described. It's talking about J-E-S-U-S. It's talking about Jesus. You know what it's talking about? A manifestation of Jesus. Okay? This is real. It's Jesus. I want to tell you, when you go through junk and your heart's toward the Lord, not only does the Lord take the junk and work it out. I mean behind the scenes. He's working it out for your good and His glory. But He will also reward you personally. Is anyone listening? He will reward you personally. And I want to tell you, His reward can show up in a lot of different ways. But here it goes, here it goes, here it goes. It's a manifestation of Jesus to you personally. That's the only thing that explains what Paul said. When he said, all this stuff I've gone through, listen, listen, listen. I love the fellowship. You know what fellowship? Koinonia. The interaction. The involvement with Jesus that I get in His suffering. It's the only thing it makes. It fits there. Fellowship of His suffering. Suffering's not fun. But the interaction in the reward that Jesus makes to us personally is worth it all. Wow. Verse 18, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. I've tried to share with you. Now look, we can talk about heaven with this because this speaks of heaven. It also speaks of right now. Because I'm telling you something, the invisible is more real than the visible. The visible is temporary. Look, man, I'm seeing, hey, look at my checkbook. Woo! That's visible. That appears very real. I want to tell you what's more real than the visible checkbook is the invisible heart of God for me. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, where am I going to park at? Where am I going to put my focus on? Huh? What am I going to meditate on? What am I going to believe? In the visible or the invisible? Since we consider and look not, we're not to look at the things that are seen. Don't put your focus on them. Don't focus on the doctor's report and say, that's it. But to the things that are unseen. What does Dr. Jesus say? For the things that are visible are temporary. Wow, I just said that. Brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible, get this, they're deathless. They're everlasting. Light afflictions are severe, it seems like. But I want to tell you what he saw them through heaven vision. And when he saw them through heaven vision, he said they're just for a moment. So when you look at the present junk that you're in through the light of eternity, and I don't want to speak this on anybody because I believe the Lord, the Bible says he creates a way of escape for us. And that way of escape can be rescue or it can be through it. Both of those are victory. But I'm here to say this to you. I believe that he wants to set us free here for his honor and glory. But if we don't receive here, I want to tell you, you don't get a whipping when you get to heaven. If you don't receive here, I want to tell you something. When you look at what you're going through that vision of eternity, 60 years or 70 years or 80 years is a blink of an eye. Are you listening? Compared to eternity. And if you don't receive it here, the reward there, you're going to say, I'm so thankful. I had my heart toward God. Because I want to tell you, when you believe, are you listening? When you believe, and even if you don't get it, okay? It's not on God's end. I'm convinced of that. It's not on God's end. It would be on our end. But I want to tell you, I've never done anything perfect in my life. And so if I don't receive on this end, but I'm reaching toward God, I'm believing, I'm trusting in the Lord, I want to tell you, I get credit for it. I get credit for it. If you look at the Hall of Faith in the New Testament, they didn't all receive what they were believing for, but the Lord counted it unto them as righteousness. Is that a little too much for you? Let's go back to David. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. He didn't get to. He passed the torch on. See, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at passing the torch. He passed the torch on to his son. Bible says it was counted unto him as righteousness because it was in his heart and he made preparation for it to happen. Boy, that ought to be a shout from somebody on this. This is for somebody because this is not in the notes. Okay? I'm telling you, believe God. He's a rewarder. That's his heart. Okay? So we focus on the promises and not the problems. That ought to be written down somewhere. Do not let your heart, John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, or agitated. Don't you love the Amplified on this? Distressed or agitated. That's what Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, you know, there's an option here. He wouldn't say, don't let it, unless there was a possibility for it not to happen. There's a chooser there somewhere. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. You see, that's more than head knowledge. Okay? It is possible to keep your heart from being troubled. Well, how would we do that? Right here. Believe in God. Practice receiving joy and peace and love in the midst of trouble and trials and hardship. And you know what? You can receive peace, joy, and love through your trial and hardship. Well, I didn't make it. Well, I don't make it sometime either. But when we miss, what do? Same thing. We go back and practice believing and receiving joy, peace, and love through our trouble and trials and hardships. Okay? Hey, now, John 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. That works for everything but financial problems, right? No? It works for finances too. Well, wait a minute. No, it works for everything but emotional problems. No, it works for that. Wait. It's for relational problems. Your heart's got to be troubled in relational. Well, yeah, troubled, but we don't have to let it stay troubled. Boy, I'm telling you. Okay, what about an addiction? It works for everything but an addiction, right? Because an addiction, we're out of control. No. Don't let your heart be troubled. What about a medical condition? I've had doctors look me in the eye and say stuff. It wasn't life. One of them told me, "You got a weak heart." One of them said, "It's amazing you're still here." Okay? Hey, you know what? I can't put that in a bottle and take it home and live. I've got to say what Dr. Jesus says. All right? Are you with me? And so, when you do find your heart troubled, run to Jesus. John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I'm going away to prepare a place for you." Somebody say, "For me." If you've received Christ, this is true. If you haven't received Christ, then it's an if. Verse 3, "And when if..." So this is personal. Hey, this is something only you can answer. Your parents, your grandparents can't answer this. This is on you. "When, if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also." So, you know what he talks about? Heaven. If you can't find anything good in your life to give thanks for, because sometimes I run across people like that, I ask them, "Well, let's start somewhere. What are you thankful for?" They said, "I can't name a thing." Well, if you know Jesus, salvation's a great place to start. Okay? All that salvation is. And is it heaven? Is it forgiveness? Yes, yes, and yes. But that word sozo in the New Testament also means more than that. Now, make no mistake about it. This is the primary importance. The Bible calls it the first importance. Is forgiveness of our sins. And so when you understand that, you've got a lot to give thankful for. But sozo also encompasses a number of other things. We're going to get to that in healing series. But I want to just give you a clue. He says, "I'm the great I am." And salvation is all that he is. And all he wants to be to you. So, you start with salvation. And you know what? Next good place to go is heaven. You start reading and thinking about heaven and giving thanks for heaven. Look, is it possible for us to get obsessed in this journey with things that aren't eternal? Okay, if you're listening to me, that should have been a real yes. It's so possible. I at one time, and you can ask the leadership here, at one time I considered buying a bench in the graveyard. And I was going to put the church name on it. And when people come and they're troubled about some little decision or some big decision and it's just upsetting their life, I was going to send them to the cemetery and tell them, go sit there for an hour surrounded by dead bodies and consider what this decision, how it will affect you 5 years from now or how it will affect eternity. It'd be a lot of different choices made. Most of the problems of the day are giant, listen to this, because we magnify them. I want to tell you what the Bible encourages us to do is to magnify Jesus. Amen. And when we magnify Jesus, we see Him and we receive peace. Amen. "I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me." Isaiah 26:3. So, Mark 13:31 says this, that heaven and earth will pass away, will perish and pass away. But my words will not perish and pass away. So we better be linking up with the words, Amen. With the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you, everything else is going to pass one day. So you can say it, "This too shall pass." Because it's true. A new season is coming up for you. Okay? Let's believe God. We're not going to be in the same season we're in forever. There is a new beginnings. Had to work that in. There's a new level of freedom life coming. Had to work that in. Look, all this is temporary. That you can see, sense, feel. It's temporary. Your mind has binoculars. Okay? Years ago, before my boys started playing football, I would hunt in the fall, and I'd fish in the spring. And when they started playing football, I let go of the hunting because I was connected with them. I was all about the football, what they were doing. So we did fish some the rest of the year. But when they were little, before they started playing ball, I had all my hunting stuff out and getting everything ready to go hunt. And Chris, that time little fella, picked up my binoculars. And it was just natural for him to put them up there backwards. He put the big, yeah, he put the big view up to his eye. And he was looking around, he said, "Dad, that's real small. That's real tiny." I said, "Turn him around, Bubba." And he turned him around. I promise you, he did this. He went, "Wow." And he smiled and he did it again. I said, "Yeah, that's what they're for." And I want to tell you, you and I do that. Whatever you focus on grows in magnification. Mm. If you're disturbed over someone and you focus on that someone, you're letting your heart be troubled. Now, listen. But if you are disturbed and you esteem the Lord and you magnify, are you with me? You magnify the Lord. Then I want to tell you, you get to see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, okay, you practice that praise and thanksgiving, you see Jesus, then I want to tell you, He brings peace to your life. Because the way you spell peace is J-E-S-U-S. Philippians 2:9, "Therefore, God has exalted Him, Jesus, and has freely bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. Whatever the trial, whatever the storm, whatever the disturbance, His name is above every name. Whatever the sickness, His name is above every name." And all the people said, that's why Psalm 69:30, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Remember, our affliction is light and temporary. Okay? For a moment, let's have a heaven mindset. He makes it worth it. Remember this in Romans 8:28. He's going to work it out for our good and for His glory. We are assured. Let's be assured of something. Okay, let's be confident in something. And know that God being a partner in their labor, I want to say to you, you're not by your own. You're not by yourself. You're not the Lone Ranger on the lone journey. God's with you. He's given us the Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself, and He said, "I will not, I will not, I will not ever leave you or forsake you." And He is working all things together. Is your heart toward Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you submitted to Him? He's working all things together. We can be confident in this, that He is working all things together or fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. I want to tell you about those who love God. Sometimes people ask me, "Well, how do I learn to love God more?" You let Him love on you more. It's not deep. It's not complicated. It's this. We love Him because He first loved us. And you be still. Magnify the Lord. Let the Lord come and love on you. I want to tell you something. You're going to love Him more because He's irresistible. And you get addicted to the divine type of love that loves you in spite of yourself. I want to tell you, He loves us. Okay, there's a lot I'd love to say there. 2 Corinthians 4:18, "Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen." Look into the invisible. Let's believe God and trust God for the things that are in the invisible to become visible. That's what He wants. Look past the physical, see the spiritual. Pain is probably the greatest test. And when you're in pain, you can put your eyes on Jesus and so focus on the Lord, where the Lord becomes more connected to you and you identify more with Jesus than you do your physical pain, I want to tell you, powerful things happen. Okay? I have to say that because sometimes we identify with troubles or pain or sickness, and it becomes our identity. You can't let it become your identity. That's why I encourage people to say, don't say my divorce. Don't do that. Let's put divorce in the past. Let's put it under the blood. Let's learn from it. Let's make things right with it. Let's learn from it. But there, you know what? Hey, let's let divorce be a part of your past and let Jesus be a part of your right now and your future. Jesus is not limited by our past. Are you with me? Hey, His grace, His mercy is fresh each morning. Hey, look, you got a sickness and infirmity that's coming against you. Look, don't identify with the sickness. Don't say, this is my disease. Okay, don't do that. Okay, you say, well, I'm still fighting it. Well, I understand that. I'm fighting stuff too. But our identity has got to be Jesus. And when we can get in here, in our imagination room that God created for us, if we can be more identified as a healed one than a sick one, things happen. Is that too much for you? Okay, well, I'm going to just jump on a healing series for just a moment here. Because of Jesus, we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. Even though at times we don't look like it, we don't act like it. God says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's true in our spirit. Okay? Then I want to tell you something. He says that we were healed by His stripes. He's already been striped. He's already been beaten for our healing. And so that's part of the finished works of Jesus on the cross. Now, I want to tell you something. A believer, I'm just going to kick this out. A believer is a healed person that sickness is attacking. Not a sick person that's begging God for healing. I want to tell you, a person going through a divorce, brokenhearted, I've been there, I understand that. But I want to tell you something. Hey, a believer that's believing, okay, is a person that's already healed in the heart because of what Jesus said. He says He took our sorrows on the cross. We're a healed person of the heart that sorrow is attacking. Not a sorrow that's trying to get a healing. Okay, that might have been a little much for you. Okay, well, that's to encourage you to hang around, you know, for the healing series. It's going to start in 2 weeks, I think. It's going to start in 2 weeks. Okay, here's how to receive hope. Because people all around us need hope. And I'm going to have to probably stop here. But let me just say this about hope. Because people need hope. We need hope. People around us need hope. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, it says this. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Now, you tell me what it's like. Well, it's Jesus and it's the Word. Okay? Now, your heart needs to be flooded with light. Now, I want to tell you, I used to hunt at night back then for them little rabbits. Okay, that's going to get me in trouble with some people. We used to hunt rabbits at night. And, man, we'd get up here on the edge of a field and we'd hit that spotlight. And, man, when that spotlight, when their eyes are flooded with light, you know what they do? They freeze. They freeze. I want to tell you may feel like you're going downhill. You may feel like you're going nowhere fast. But I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to be sure your eyes of your heart are flooded with light. That's Jesus. That's His words. Okay? And we practice that with praise and thanksgiving. We've covered that. Why? When you see Jesus and focus on Jesus, then you can know. That you can know, that means personally experience, that kind of knowing. It's not just head knowledge. It's the type of word that talks about husband and wife intimacy that you can experientially know and understand and see. This is the way God works. This is one of the ways of God. You get your eyes of your heart flooded with light, with Jesus, with His Word, and understand that hope comes. You experience hope because of the light. You say, well, my hope's crushed. I don't have any courage. My hope's crushed. My hope's down. Flood your heart with light. When your heart's flooded with the light, hope rises up. It's the hope of the Lord. This is the way of God. It's what He does. And you understand the hope to which he's called you. You say, oh, here I am. This is the real me. The broken one is not the real me. The Jesus-loving person is the real me. And you can see the hope, and you can see how rich you are in Christ. You can see how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, the set apart ones. And so when you focus on him and your heart's flooded with light, the Holy Spirit will show you. He's going to show you peace is here. You're walking around with a disturbed heart and peace is here. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe, and receive. The peace, the joy, the love, the healing, the provision, the restoration. All that he is. You can experience it. And in verse 19, not only do you experience, but you can see the power in it. So that you can know and understand. There it is again. This is personal. What is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power. You can see the power of God in your own life to set you free. Wow. And it's in us. Do you see that? Power in. This is an important word. It's a little word, but it's very powerful. That power is in you. Okay? And that power is for you. You see, for us? That means for you, believer. That's for you. Who are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about the pastors. No, we're talking about everybody that believes. Look here. It's in us and for who believe. In us and for us who believe. Is anybody here believing? Jesus says that he demonstrated this and showed this to us, how powerful this power is. Verse 20, when he exerted in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so he showed us how powerful this power is. It's resurrection power. And he's saying to us, resurrection power is in us. When we flood our heart with light, not focusing on trouble, not esteeming the troubles, disesteeming the troubles by esteeming Jesus, flooding our heart with the light of Jesus and his word, seeing Jesus, hope comes up. And when hope comes up, then we can see how rich we are. Then you understand, hey, this is for me. Jesus did this for me. He took my junk so I could receive his righteousness. Okay? He took my sin so I could receive his blessing. He took what was bad in me that he didn't deserve, and he took it so that I could receive from him what he deserved. The goodness of God. The acceptance of God. Is that beautiful? Well, I'm here to tell you. He said, this power is in us and for us. It's resurrection power. And it says there at the last, and I'll stop right here. He says this. He's seated at the right hand in heavenly places. I want to tell you what else he says. He says, we're seated with him in heavenly places. And so get this, here it is. Resurrection power, paid for by the blood, the righteousness of God, and he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. It's a position of victory. And then he looks at his joint heirs, and he says, come on. Come on! Lord, we don't deserve it. I know. I paid the price. Well, Lord, we hadn't worked it. I know. I made the covenant. You can't keep it. I did it. Come on. Come on. Believe. Come on. Sit down beside me. It's a position of victory. It's a position of victory. Resurrected power. We're in a victory position. It's already in us. The raising from the dead power of Jesus is in us and for us. And so that's why we can say what the Word of God says. With God, all things are possible. Would you look to the Lord right now? Turn to the Lord right now and look to the Lord right now. And I want you before the Lord to name your trial or your test or your tribulation. Just personally between you and the Lord, name it and confess it before the Lord. Now, I just want to pray that you let, by grace, you will receive and let the light of the Word of God in the presence of Jesus flood your heart. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the price that you paid. Thank you for the power of your Word. Lord, I just declare in the name of Jesus that the eyes of our hearts are open, the ears of our heart are open, and we hear and see what you are and what you're doing. And so, Lord, we present this trial to you. We lay it at your feet. Lord, we're to cast our care upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, we lay this trial, this disturbance at your feet. And, Lord, we surrender it. And, Lord, we receive in its place what you paid for. We receive your peace. We receive your love. We receive your joy. Lord, we receive your undeniable peace that passes all understanding. We release, by the power of your resurrection, we release the power of God to be manifested in every heart and life that's looking to you. And we speak life to you in the name of Jesus. We speak healing to you. We speak the victory of the cross to you. That Jesus calls you an overcomer. Jesus says you're more than a conqueror. And I declare that the hope of the Lord will rise up in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say yes to your yes. We receive fresh hope this morning in the name of the Lord. And we declare that this test or trial or tribulation, that it's a defeated foe. That you're our victory. Holy Spirit, come and teach us how to receive and walk in your resurrection power. And we declare your victory for our good and for your glory. Lord, come and bring glory to yourself through our life. Lord, come and bring glory to yourself through our church. And we just give you praise. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. And I love you. And I took a little bit too much.